Good morning, everybody, and welcome to A Penny for Your Thoughts. I'm Jim Turpin. I'll be here until 11 o'clock this morning. We have an open line the first hour, then a conversation with Jim Dye, the opinions editor of the News Gazette. Tomorrow, my guest will be Julia Reitz at 9 o'clock in the morning. Usually have the guests on at 10, but tomorrow she is on at 9, and then we'll have an open line right at 10 o'clock. And then Busey Money Talk at 10:30. Then on Friday, a very special program. That will be my last day on Penny. We'll be featuring lots of music, some terrific singers and performers. We'll play some highlights from years past, some surprises. Goal is to have some fun. And I think we will tomorrow for both hours of the program. So we will not have time on Friday to be taking any calls. So if you want to get any open line calls in today and tomorrow would be the right time. And the way you do that is call 356-9397. And you can text us as well. That number is 351-5357. So if you have something on your mind today, we'll start off with that. I'll give you some headlines that I want to talk about today, some things that I consider good news, good topics for conversation. And you can pick up on those, or you can bring up something entirely new. That's okay, whatever you would like to do. This has always been a program devoted to dialogue and not monologue, so that means there has to be somebody on the other end that wants to talk to me, and I want to talk to them. That's the way it works. In the news, more Champaign County nursing home problems. Former vendor has filed suit against the home and the county, saying that they are owed $235,000. More and more problems. County board members voted to join suit against the makers of opioid. The county joined several other Illinois counties that have hired law firms to pursue claims against drug makers believed to be partly responsible for the nation's opioid crisis. If you want to know more about Unit 4's school construction plans, the dates, the costs, the construction starting times, estimated, et cetera, et cetera, that's in today's paper. Julie Worth outlines it for you in today's News Gazette. There's a little paragraph or two on each of the projects, and the dates are there. Going to be some other public meetings as well. So it is a major, major project. It will take some time to get finished, of course. But it'll be really something not only at Champaign Central, but literally all over town. We still have some spots open for the free Christmas dinner at the First Christian Church. This is something that I've had the pleasure of taking part in. Haven't do much. I've done the least amount of work of anybody. They've got 250 volunteers, people that are just waiting for you to come out for a free Christmas dinner. If you don't want to be alone on Christmas Day, come join 400 or 500 friends. I can assure you the food is good. There is fun. There is some music, presents for the young people. I'll give you all the details later on this morning and how you can register. That'll be coming up here in just a bit. And, of course, on the national scene, the tax reform package was okayed by the Senate and then sent back to the House for a final vote, then presumably on to President Trump. You may see changes in your paycheck, they say, by February. And the feds release one of two illegal immigrants who sought abortion so that the abortion would not have to be funded by taxpayer money. She was able to mislead Homeland Security about her age, getting into the country, etc. She may face penalties for lying under oath to the court. Amtrak engineer in that deadly train wreck may have been distracted by an employee in training, according to federal investigators. That train was going about 80 miles an hour and was supposed to be going in a 30-mile-per-hour zone. And how about this one? An Indiana woman is shocked when the Abbey Inn and Suites in Brown County, Indiana, charged her an additional $350 after she posted a negative review online about the facility. They say that's on their website that they do that. I can't understand how that could be. I guess it's legal, but it doesn't sound very ethical to me. That's all I know about it. It's what I've just told you. And the winner of season 13 of The Voice is Chloe Kohansky. She belted out rock songs from the 80s and the 90s. Her coach was Blake Shelton. Shelton had the winner for the sixth time. This is a show my wife and I really enjoy watching. It lasts, it's on Monday and Tuesday nights for several weeks. And kind of a letdown when it's over. They have some great singers, a lot of young people just trying to get started, and some older people that have been at it for a while. It's a good show. It's mostly music, and it is over, and she is the winner. Irene, good morning.
Good morning. Another beautiful day.
Yes, it is, indeed.
I just wanted to ask you if you considered maybe talking to Stevie J, because you're upbeat like he is, and I think that would be a good station for you.
If I should do what now? What about Stevie J?
Apply for Stevie J, a program similar to what you have.
Oh. Well, we'll see what happens in the future, Irene. We don't know right now. All we know is we've got a couple more days left here, you know.
And I'm looking forward to seeing you on Christmas.
Oh, okay. You're going to be out there? Well, make sure you say hello. A lot of people, and I'd like to say hello to you.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah, that Christmas situation out there at the First Christian Church is really a lot of fun. Much of the credit goes to the volunteers, and Lynn Barnes is really the force behind this. And she writes in today's paper, "This is an invitation to any and all of our area and people in our area who would otherwise be alone to enjoy a free traditional sit-down dinner with 400 friends on Christmas Day. More than 250 volunteers from the community are making this event possible. There is still time for you to join us for appetizers at 12:30 on Christmas Day and the dinner at 1. It all takes place at First Christian Church. That's at the corner of Curtis and Staley in Champaign. A beautiful church, this wonderful facilities there. Reservations are required. You can RSVP no later than December 23rd. You can reserve your spot by calling or texting. The phone number to call is 991-0250, or by emailing Christmas dinner. That's all one word, no spaces in there. Christmas dinner at FCC, that's the church, -online.org. Let us know how many will be in your party, and if you will have children age 12 and under in the group, they'll be receiving a small gift. Also, please let us know if you will need a ride and from which of the following pickup points: Sunnycrest Manor, Steer Place, Illinois Terminal, the Round Barn Manor, or Restoration Urban Ministries. We'd love to have you join us for dinner on Christmas Day. It's a letter today from in the News Gazette from Lynn Barnes. Community Day Christmas dinner volunteer, she says. Now, she's a volunteer, all right, but she is, without her, I don't know. She is the Energizer Bunny. Very, very capable woman who has done so much for this community. Works over at Carl and has for a real long time. And it's been in charge of this dinner. I forget how many years they've had it now. I've had the pleasure. She calls me the MC. I really just make a few announcements. It's no big deal, but I love to do it. Love to be associated with all those folks. Bob is next. Hi, Bob.
Hi. Hey. Ironically, since I'm retired, I don't get to hear your morning program every day anymore. And there's one issue that I know we wouldn't see in the News Gazette or hear much about on the radio, but it sounds like you've talked about a little bit about your continuing after, what, Friday's the last day?
Friday is the last day here on Penny, yes.
I don't know if you've talked much about the circumstances that you weren't the one who really wanted to quit doing the show, because you do a great show.
Well, I'm hopeful that this is something that I can continue to do some work of some kind, because I'm 85 years old, but I feel healthy, and I feel I'm still curious about things, and I feel I'm capable of doing productive work, and so I'll be, kind of looking around.
Well, was there a reason why the radio station didn't want you continuing?
It's a personnel matter, and as I've said over the years, when personnel matters have come up, you should talk to the management people. That would be, in this case, Mike Hale or John Reed.
Oh, I see. Well, you know, of course, and you've probably gotten multiple calls already about how much people miss you, that you just do just a great job of talking to people and encouraging them to call in and be part of the community. And that's the main aspect that I think will be missed a lot.
Well, I don't know what the format will be, if it will continue this way or it will have a new host. Brian Barnhart will be here. And I have not asked him what's going to happen, and it's none of my business. After Friday, it's up to someone else. But I do love to talk to people, and I've tried to be fair over all this time. I haven't given up my position on politics or anything like that, because I don't want anybody to say, oh, this guy is a liberal or this guy is a conservative. I tried to play it down the middle as far as being on the air is concerned, and give everybody a shot at saying what they think.
Oh, that's the one area you're the best at, is letting everybody have their say, whatever side they're on, and being fair to them, like you said. So we all appreciate that and have for years. You know that.
Thank you, Bob. You're very kind to call. I appreciate it. And let's go to Jane here at 919. Hi, Jane.
Hi, good morning. I agree with this previous caller, but my question is, well, I have two questions, actually. The first one is, you kind of touched on the floor mat of Penny as it continues with the new host. I can't think of his name right now.
Brian Barnhart.
Yeah, Brian Barnhart. Anyway, because we really enjoy the judges and Julia Reese and so on and so forth, so I hope he continues with that. And my second question is, when does Brian get a chance to sleep between the games and the show and so on and so forth?
When does who get a chance?
When does Brian get a chance to sleep? Mm-hmm. It seems like he's a very busy gentleman.
Yes, he is. I've been through that campaign that he is currently on, that is working at the station and then doing the play-by-play of the games, which involves a lot of travel and so forth, and he does, as I did and others before me, the coaches' shows and all those. I think he makes out okay. He's doesn't look too sleepy to me. I think he's ready to go.
Yeah, and then, of course, all the prep he has to do.
Yeah, we do. People that are on the air have to do prep, whether it's a morning show or this show or the games or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You can't come in here and wing it, or at least I can't. I need to know some of the things that I hope to talk about and hope that listeners like yourself have things that they want to talk about as well. Well, thank you, Jane. I appreciate your call this morning. I need to take a break here. Ed Bond's going to come in here with a big hook.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Our first break here, we're coming right back. This is an open line this first hour, and then we'll visit with Jim Dye. Jim Dye has been a regular guest on this program for a real long time, comes in every couple of weeks. This week he's on vacation and he's going to come in. How's that for being a good guy? Anyway, he'll be here the second hour if he doesn't forget. You never know. No, he'll be here. We'll take a break and to come back. More open line after that. This is Penny for Your Thoughts. I'm Jim Turp and we have an open line going until the top of the hour. And then we'll have the news to be followed by Jim Dye. A couple of texts came in late in the program yesterday, and Justice Steigman was on. I did not get these on the air, and I want to put them on. One came from Denny. We were talking about crime and that kind of thing, who gets arrested and how many of this, how many of that. And this text says, the leftists claim that the disparate representation of blacks in the county jail is, in and of itself, proof of police, prosecution, and court racism. However, if you look at where the crimes, and especially serious and violent crimes, occur, as reported by the public, not justice officials, you will see that it occurs in predominantly black neighborhoods. Arrests and jailings are in response to crime committed, regardless of race. Merry Christmas, says Denny. Merry Christmas to you, sir. And after Stan was on the air, this text came in. Says, we couldn't get through the program without the village idiot. Shouldn't call people names. Once again, Stan cannot see when he is losing an argument. He had quite a conversation there and with the Justice Steigman. And Justice Steigman is a smart guy and a great debater. I would not want to get into an argument with him, I can tell you that. He handles himself very well when he knows a lot when you deal with bright people who are articulate and can express themselves, they're hard to beat in a one-on-one debate. Motor is next. Hi, Motor.
Hi, guys. How are you doing?
Good. What's going on, Motor?
Not too much. Just doing a little bit with the chili, and look up, and there's the sun. It feels so good. There's no snow on the ground. I hope it doesn't happen until after Christmas. But anyway, we're sorry to hear that you're going to be away from the area. We hope you're, and we've enjoyed you so much. And I know you put up with me all the time, so I got to say thank you very much on that.
Yeah, that's been a big problem, Motor, taking care of you. You know that.
Oh, I know that. Everybody knows that, for sure. And we're gonna miss you, but I know you're going to be around.
Yes, indeed. I am not going to crawl up in a little ball and
oh, God, please don't do that. You'll be like a couple of people I know. They're still down there all rolled up in their knitting program, 10-4.
Yeah. See you later, Motor. Thanks very much
God
for
bless
everything.
You. We appreciate you. You was 100% all the way across.
Oh, you're a great man. I'm glad you called, sir. Let's go to Ben. Hi, Ben.
Hi, Jim. Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
No, I'm glad to have you on.
Hey, I heard you showing some love to Justice Steigman, and I have to say I would characterize him as quite different. I find him to get the facts right when he's speaking about areas that he has expertise on, but I know that he's spoken frequently about especially political areas about which he does not have any more expertise than anybody else. Said some pretty ignorant things about the Russia investigation several months ago that I remember talking to him about. I also think it's just a good opportunity to remind everybody about his multiple ethical issues, including his donation to a prosecutor who would have had cases that would have ended up before him in an appellate case, his misuse of public funds. So I appreciate that he's a friend of yours, but I would not characterize him in the same glowing terms that you would.
Well, we can disagree without being disagreeable, can't we, Ben?
Absolutely. I hope I did just there.
No, I wasn't saying that you were disagreeable. You weren't at all. You were expressing your opinion. That's what we've had on this program for years, and what I hope we continue to have. So thanks for the call. And
yes, sir. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Take one more call here before the 9:30 news, which we've already passed. The 9:30 spot. Jeff is next. Hi, Jeff.
Good morning, Jim. How are you?
I am good, Jeff. What's going on with you?
Well, you know, Jim, you got a lot of well-wishers calling in, and I guess I'd be remiss if I didn't call in. You know, I've called over the years, and I've always enjoyed our conversations. And you're a true gentleman, Jim. Very fair, very balanced. And I'm going to miss you. I know that. And if you end up, I don't know what's going to happen, but if you get another show or, you know, get on the air a little bit, and I'm hoping that maybe you and Lauren could still do some sports stuff, I know I'm going to be listening, Jim. So you got a fan with me.
Hey, thanks, Jeff. I really appreciate it. Appreciate your call,
okay,
sir.
Okay, Jim.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
9:32, and Brian has the news headlines. We'll come back after that and talk more on an open line up until 10 o'clock. Then we're going to visit with Jim Dye, the opinions editor of the News Gazette. A lot of things to talk to him about as well, so stick with us. Here's Brian and the news. Mike Kelly, a good friend of mine. I hired Mike Kelly right out of... Well, he wasn't right out of school when he graduated. He got a job at WVLN in Alney. That's where I worked when I was in high school, and he got a job there, and we were looking for a sports guy, and I knew of Mike, and we hired him, and he immediately began seeking employment at Camwex in St. Louis. And he would come in the morning about 5 o'clock in the morning and call down there, did this frequently, And the reason he did is because Mr. Hyland, who ran KMOX, worked at 5 o'clock in the morning. That's when he did his work. So he was there, and Mike knew he could find him if he called him at that time. So he eventually got a job at KMOX, did sports shows, got on the Missouri beat, so to speak, and is still there, although he now his primary job is with an insurance company. But he still does the games, and I'm sure he's very happy to see what Missouri is doing in basketball this year. And we'll find out on Saturday, right? Don is next. Hi, Don.
Hey, good morning, Jim.
Good morning.
I want to inform people something very important about the new tax plan. There's going to be a box on your taxes that the liberals can check, the Not My President box, and they can keep paying Obama's rates.
The liberals can check. Nobody else can check?
Anybody can. Not My President box, and they can keep paying the Obama rate. I mean, because what was the left's tax plan? Oh, wait a minute. They didn't have one. The tax cut plan on the left, they didn't have one.
No, that's true. They did not.
Things that make you go, hmm.
Okay, might make you go that way, but I never went that way.
Well, I mean, isn't it funny that they never, ever, ever bring anything, any policy or anything to do with cutting taxes?
Yeah, they had, with Obama, they had 8 years to do it.
I mean, just remember, folks, this is Republicans cutting your taxes. Remember that at voting time. This is Republicans cutting your taxes.
All right. Appreciate it. Thank you, Don. Tax reform package was okayed by the Senate, in case you tried to keep up with this. It's hard to keep up with the legislation going back and forth and back and forth. They sent it back to the House for a final vote, and then it would go on to President Trump. Bill says, Jim, I've been a frequent caller for many years. It's no secret that I'm a conservative. I've always tried to be informed and not just a parrot of the shows that follow Penny. I always knew that you would want to have a conversation and would express your own opinions and have follow-up questions. That's what makes this show so successful and long-running. The show has made long work days possible. I know you would like to continue, but rest assured, I think Brian will continue your legacy of fairness and curiosity. This show, with its great guest, Robert Steigman, being my favorite, and variety is a community treasure. You will be not forgotten. We share a love of Illini sports. I would like to also thank you for your years as voice of the Illini. Then he says, Ed Bond, please encourage Jim to read this on air because I know he might be too humble to do so, but what I say isn't just my mind opinion, it's the truth. Thank you, God bless you and your family. Well, Bill, I try to read all the text messages that come in and try to take all the calls that come in, so I appreciate very much what you had to say. It's very kind of you. Jim is next. Hi, Jim.
Good morning, Jim. How are you today?
I am good. What's going on with you?
I'm just enjoying this beautiful sunny day. It's a little crisp out there.
It's going to be a little crisper in the next few days, it sounds like.
It is. And it is winter. We can expect some of this.
Yes, indeed.
I want to reiterate some of the kind things that everybody else has said about you, and I've said them a few times before. You are going to be missed. I just now, I was not aware that the circumstances behind things, and I would hope they would rethink that. And on the politics, the gentleman that called in about Bob Steigman, again, he's also one of my absolute favorites that you have on. I think he is in a unique position to have as much or a better outlook on people in general topics. I disagree with that other caller. I think he's as qualified or more qualified than most people. And he kind of threw a couple allegations out there, and I thought that was maybe rude, but it is his right to do so. But I take stuff like that pretty serious. I wish he had not just blurted stuff out. It's hard to take things back once it's blurted out. But we certainly have enjoyed having you. You will be missed. Bob has been a great part of this show for many years also. And I wish you and your wife and the extended family a very Merry Christmas and good health, etc.
Thank you, Jim. The same to you. Hope you have a great 2018 coming up here pretty soon. We appreciate all the calls. You've been one of the regulars, and you've always been fair and always had something to say. And was always willing to listen to me and others that had conversations on the same topic. And so good job, and keep listening. John says, I wanted to call in yesterday late in the show and add to the argument that Judge Steigman was having with Stan, but I didn't want to interrupt the embarrassing pummeling the judge was giving Stan. If it had been a boxing match, they would have stopped it much earlier than it did. Well, I thought it was an interesting conversation myself. I just let it go. That's not something I do often. We try to keep things moving, but they both had a lot to say, and so we just let them go. They went on, and I thought it was very interesting, and as we like to say, good radio. And Don is next. Hi, Don.
Hey, Jim. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Great. I just want to offer my congratulations on your retirement and tell you how much we've enjoyed listening to Penny up here in Kalamazoo on the internet. I'll tell you what, I've been a fan of radio my whole life, and this internet radio is wonderful because you're able to connect with stations all over the place without trying to catch them at 6 in the morning on the skip. And I'll tell you what, we've really enjoyed WDWS, and especially your contribution. It's a great radio, and we've enjoyed listening to it over the last couple of years.
Well, thank you, Don. I appreciate you saying that. I'm trying to avoid the word retirement because I'm not retiring. I just I would like to say that Friday will be my last show here on the Penny and on this radio station, and let it go at that. Thanks for your call, sir. And is this Moose?
How you doing, Jim?
Well, I'm doing fine. How are you?
I ain't talked to you for a long time. I hear you're leaving the radio station or getting off.
Yeah, well, I got a couple more days, Thursday and Friday.
Yes. I'll tell you who I miss is when you had old Bill Black on there.
Yeah, we had Bill on a lot when he was in the General Assembly and afterwards. And he's a great guest. He's a great guy. He had some health problems along the way, but I think he's okay now. And he's one of my favorites, too.
Yeah, do you think you'll ever get him back on? Or do you think the station will ever get him back on?
I don't know. What happens after a Friday is somebody else's business and not mine.
Yeah. Okay, Bill. Jim.
Well, thank you, Moose. I'm glad you called. We're at 356-9397. Text me at 351-5357. We'll come back right after this break. And back to the phones we go for Tony. Hello, Tony.
Hi. I'm hoping that you can land somewhere else. It kind of reminds me of when Howard Stern went to Sirius Radio on just 3 days a week. If we could get Jim Turpin on another station, even for 3 days a week, that would be awesome.
How about maybe I'll go on Sirius Radio? How you think that? How would that
hey,
be?
That'd be great. They'll hire you.
Have your own channel.
Yeah, the Jim Turpin channel. But I hope they do kind of retire with you, just because I like his opinions, but he cannot talk correctly. He clears his throat too much. It's annoying for us listeners out here in radio land. So I think there comes a time.
Who? I'm sorry, I didn't hear who you were talking about.
The guy from yesterday, the judge.
Oh, Steigman? Yeah.
He clears his throat way too often, and it's just distracting for us out here in the radio land. Like, you talk so clearly and very professionally, but when you're clearing your throat every other word, it's very annoying.
Well,
so,
I'm sure he wouldn't prefer not to have to do that, but if you've got a condition that causes you to do that, I don't know what you can do about it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Maybe you should go on the radio.
Oh, okay, well...
Right.
We've tried it with him for 30 some years now. So, I don't know what the future of any guest is. I assume we'll have guests on the show, but I don't know. It's not my business, so I'll just leave it at that. But I appreciate your call, Tony. Thank you so much. And Eunice is next. Hello, Eunice.
Hello, Jim. How are you today?
I am good. This is a pretty day. It's a little nippy, but my goodness, it's getting close to Christmas. Do you want a white Christmas, Eunice?
Well, a sprinkling of white. I'm getting at the age now where the snow isn't such a happy thing.
That's a good idea. Just have a few snowflakes on a Christmas evening or Christmas Eve or something like that. That'll be okay.
Right. That'll be great. Well, I'm sad to hear that you're leaving us. I know, I started listening to Penny for Your Thoughts when I was 9 years old, so you know how long ago that's been. And I'm going to miss your banter, the way you listen to people and give back. I'm going to miss you being on the air. That's all I have to say. Have a good life. Enjoy wherever you're going.
Have a good life yourself, Eunice. Thank you very much. Right, 356-9397. It is 9:54 here at WDWS. Explore issues that matter most to you, your family, and your financial future with Busey's magazine, The Pillar. The fall issue is available now. Turn the pages to find a variety of resources and advice from Busey's experts. Whether starting your career, raising a family, or enjoying retirement, explore how to budget for life with advice for each stage. If you're in the sweet spot of retirement planning, your early to mid-50s, learn 6 things to prepare for a smooth transition to retirement. The right words in your real estate listing can not only help your home sell fast, but for more money. Discover the top 10 listing keywords. With a farmer first mentality, Agrigal is shaping the future of farming across the globe. One technology, one tool at a time, we introduce you to an agribusiness company in the heart of the heartland. From athletes and authors to presidents and CEOs, further explore the lasting legacies of 9 leaders in this continuation from the spring 2017 issue. Busey's magazine, The Pillar, a great resource for leaders of all life stages, from financial insights to investment trends. The Pillar covers topics that matter most to you. To read The Pillar or to request a copy of the magazine, visit the publications page in the Resource Center on Busey.com or stop by any of their convenient locations. we certainly want to thank people like Busey and Gallo Miller, and I don't want to start on the people that I've had on the air that have asked me to do their live commercials. That's a compliment, and I don't take it lightly, and try to do a good job on those. And obviously with the out sponsors, this show would not be on the air, nor would this radio station. This is a commercial radio station, and we've had a lot of people support us over the years. By us, I mean the radio station. And I'm sure that they will continue to do so for a real long time. Station's been on the air for 80 years. Can you imagine that? 80 years. And I've had the great pleasure of being here for 40 of those years. That includes 3 years that I was an undergrad at the University of Illinois and worked weekends. Somebody said, well, how often, you have a part-time job with a radio station? And I said, yeah, well, it was a part-time job, all right, but it involved 30 hours a week, and it was all on the weekends. Different kind of a radio station then. It was mostly records and news shows and entertainment shows from the network. There was very little local programming. Although at night, we did have a couple of programs. One was called Oski Wow Wow, and another was called The Night Owl or Late Night. I can't remember exactly. We had the opportunity then to play records, and that's what it was. It was a disc jockey type show. But anyway, I worked Friday from noon until, Friday up to midnight, 6 to midnight. And then on Saturday and Sunday, I worked from noon to midnight. Thank goodness my wife was understanding. She knew we needed the money. And she had a job herself and worked very hard in helping me get through school. And we had the GI Bill, things like that, so we were able to make it. But there are a lot of people that go to the University of Illinois and get a good education. And it's a... I don't know, somebody said it takes a village, right? Well, it takes a lot of people to get you through to get that degree. And now the University of Illinois is very, very difficult to get in. And a lot of young people around our state are disappointed that they can't come to this great university. Our time is up this first hour. Back with Jim Dye on WDWS in Champaign-Urbana. Welcome back to hour number two of A Penny for Your Thoughts. I'm Jim Turpin. My guest is Jim Dye, the opinions editor of the News Gazette. And to show you what kind of a guy he is, he's on vacation and he came in to do this show.
I did. It's the truth. And I'm dressed for it, too.
You are. You got your sweats on? You must have been at the Y or someplace.
Well, I was walking my dog this morning. I'll go to the Y probably this afternoon sometime. But when I'm home and by myself, I don't feel the need to dress up. I'm not much for putting on airs, as Pappy Finn used to say.
Doing a little reading, I bet?
Have done a little reading. I'm reading a terrific book now on the Nuremberg Trials. I stumbled across it by accident. It's one of the best books I've ever read. By Joseph Persico. And I didn't know much about the Nuremberg Trials after World War too, but he wrote this thing about 20 years ago, and it's just really a pleasure to read. It's so informative and so well done that just good luck. Every now and then you find a really great book, and this is one of them. It's called Nuremberg by Joseph Persico.
And is this a big book?
I would say it's middling. It's not short by any stretch.
400 to 500 pages.
Well, it's about 450, but the print is small, and the pages are long, but it's really well done.
A lot of stuff in there.
A lot of stuff in there. A lot of rivalries among the people that were supposed to be on the same side, and a lot of animosity among the defendants for each other. And of course, then there's a whole question about whether or not there even should have been a Nuremberg trial. You know,
how many people that were charged got off and got to flee to Brazil or someplace?
Well, I think the ones that got to flee to Brazil were the ones who were never taken into custody.
Oh, okay. Like, well, once they got them in custody, they pretty much put it to them.
And right? There were apparently trials all over the place, but the big Nuremberg trials were the top Nazi leaders like Goering and Jodl and Keitling, who were the military people. And then some people just kind of got swept up on it, although they certainly had their hands dirty with the whole slave labor program. But, you know, Churchill said, what are we doing having trials for these people? We know what they did. We should take them out and shoot them. And, but some people thought the idea of having trials was would seem more fair, although I think the results were probably pretty obvious before the first word was spoken.
Speaking of Churchill, there is a new movie that's opening Friday, I believe, and it's getting tremendous reviews. I saw a little clip of it the other day. It looks very good. Gary Oldham, I believe, is the name of the guy playing Churchill, and the way they're able to, those makeup people in Hollywood, the way they're able to transform somebody that doesn't look at all like Churchill into a guy that looks exactly like him. And his voice is tremendous. I don't go to many movies anymore, but with Netflix and the home box office and all those other things, you don't need to. But I think I'll try to get to this one.
Well, Churchill was such a unique character in history. It would be extremely difficult to portray yourself in a convincing way. But apparently, the actor in this case has done that. I have read mixed reviews of it. I'm going to go see it just because I'll have to see for myself and see what I think about it. So I'm looking forward to it. But, boy, it will not be an easy person to portray. However, I do think Churchill is one of the greatest men of the 20th century. You know, he stood alone against the Hitlerian spread across Europe and constantly warned that, you know, we cannot ignore this problem. And he was proved to be right. And eventually he prevailed with a lot of help from the United States and the Soviet Union.
One of the things that he did that not too many people are aware of, he wrote a whole bunch of books.
Oh, he did. You know, the guy just
20
did,
or so.
The guy did so many things. It's like, how can one guy be this brilliant? You know, he wrote books like, you know, like you and I read the newspaper. He would write a book, all kinds of books and all kinds of subjects. He was a masterful painter. He was a brilliant politician and I think he wrote news articles. I mean, the guy was just what can you say? He did everything. He was kind of like Theodore Roosevelt. He did everything.
We're at 356, just like you.
Inexhaustible energy. With a little help from drinking alcohol all day long.
No, it was those cigars that really propelled him.
Yeah, I guess. Well, he's a smoker and a drinker, that's for sure. Didn't seem to hurt him, man. He did it.
Well, good to talk to you about some of those historical things, but we got some stuff going on here in Champaign County. Champaign County Nursing Home.
Is the nursing home in trouble again? I thought it was all fixed.
Well, yeah, it's fixed all right. A former vendor filed suit against the home and the county, saying that they're owed $235,000 and pay up.
Well, this is the death of a thousand cuts. I mean, is anybody surprised that a nursing home that can't pay its bills constantly has to borrow money from the county to keep its doors open is being sued now because it doesn't have any money? I don't find that particularly persuasive. And I would hope that the people in charge of the nursing home, meaning those in the county board, could bring themselves to recognize that what can't go on forever will not go on forever, and they're better off cutting their losses and selling it now, as opposed to hanging on to this pipe dream of thinking that somehow things are going to turn around and the nursing home is going to become a financial success. I just don't see it happening.
The financially troubled nursing home, says a story by Tom Kasich this morning, owed $5.1 million to vendors and the county government as of December the 12th. $5.1 million.
Yeah. Well,
outside vendors were owed a total of $2.7 million, and goes on and on and on with other big numbers. Home also owes about $2.4 million to various county government funds.
Well, it's not in as bad a shape as Illinois' public pension funds. Look at it that way. They owe $170 billion. Look, this is chump change for the nursing home.
Yeah, look for a shining light someplace. But I can't understand why there is any question about selling the nursing home.
Well, I think a handful of Democrats in the nursing home, I think that somehow this is proof. Maintaining a nursing home is proof of the county's virtue and that some people will not have any place to go, and I think that's wrong because there are a lot of private nursing homes that can take these patients, and the nursing home population is down below what they would like it to be because of that competition from the private nursing home. So I think it's a pipe dream on their part, but they seem to be determined to play it out to the bitter end.
Well, at least a few of them say that during the vote, where it was overwhelmingly said by the general public that we should sell the nursing home, that people in their districts voted the other way.
Well, you know, people in their districts may have voted the other way, but, you know, when we hold elections, when you hold a countywide election and you have a result and the result is one way, I don't think it's reasonable to say, well, people in this particular geographic section of the county didn't vote that way, so therefore we can't make the change. I mean, what's the point of having an election? To me, it's just an excuse because they want to hold on to the bitter end. That's not the way we do elections. So,
we'll take a break here. We're coming right back. If you have any questions or comments for Jim Dye, we're at 356-9397. And our Castle Heating and Cooling text line is 351-5357. Back with Jim after this. We're back with Jim Dye from the News Gazette. Got his sweats on. He's ready to go out and take on the world out at the Y. You going to be in that stationary bike spinning thing?
I may do that. I've been swimming a lot lately. It's easier on your legs and on your back, so I've been doing a lot of swimming. I don't know what I'll do today. I have to see. You know, it's just serendipitous, Jim. I just go to the Y and say, what do I feel like today? Since I don't want to do other, I usually pick the least offensive option at the moment.
I hear the Y has so many members, it's difficult to find a place to park out there.
Mark sometimes. Johnson has done such a fabulous job getting that Y built and turning it into a really beehive of activity that it's really one of the great accomplishments of Champaign-Urbana in the last 10 or 20 years, what he's done out there. And, yeah, the Y is a busy place. There's all kinds of programs and all kinds of people, and it's had a lot of fun to be out there. Well, just to see all the people.
You know, there's a lot of ways to sell, but Mark Johnson's way of selling has proved to be quite good. He just goes in and he just grabs people with his shoulders. And
does he turn them upside down?
Throws them to the floor and pins them.
He pins them, does he? Okay, well, that would be effective with me. He hadn't done that. He just threatened to pin me. I threw in the towel immediately.
Interesting stories in the Chicago Tribune today. There's a real long one I have not read it entirely, but the headline is, Rauner sees a second term in a different light. Governor says he can curtail the power of Madigan and Emanuel. And the governor then sought to provide answers, saying he's counting on the courts to give him several transformative wins over organized labor, allowing him to bypass Madigan's opposition.
Well, I don't think he can bypass Madigan's opposition. I think his references to the courts there are on target. There is a case pending now before the U.S. Supreme Court that if the plaintiffs are successful, would eliminate the requirement that union members have to join the union and have to pay union dues or pay the equivalent of union dues through the so-called, what is the word for it?
It's okay, you're on vacation.
I'm on vacation. It's the equivalent of union dues for people who don't wish to join. And if the court rules that the people are not required to pay dues to AFSCME in this particular case, it's an Illinois case, then that will eliminate, if assuming enough people don't want to join, it would eliminate a big source of Democratic Party money because AFSCME union dues, a lot of it goes to support Mike Madigan and Democratic candidates. So that would be a big thing, potentially. But as far as getting around Mike Madigan's power, I just don't see how you do it. He's in charge of the legislature, and whatever he doesn't want to happen will not happen, and we've seen that for the last 2 years. So if he thinks he can curtail Madigan, I mean, I wish him luck on that because somebody needs to curtail Madigan, but given the nature of the division of powers in Illinois, I don't see how that happens.
Ron, or better devote some time to thinking about getting reelected.
Well, I think that's part of his campaign. Is he's running against Mike Madigan, just like the Democratic candidate for governor J.B. Pritzker is running against
Donald Trump.
So it's he said I'm running against Donald Trump because Bruce Rauner is really just a shill of Donald Trump.
We've got several calls here. Let's go to them with Kurt being first. Hi, Kurt.
Yeah, good evening, gentlemen. How are you guys doing today?
We're fine. We're doing. We got two Jims in here. Yeah, we both responded to you, but we're both doing okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, here's my topic today. I heard you talking about the nursing home now. The Democrats on the board have said, well, our constituents voted against it. Well, the overall count was, let's sell them the nursing home. And they should be working together to sell the home, both the Democrats and the Republicans, try to go to the nonprofit first to sell it. I'm not against needy senior citizens or anybody needing medical help. But when the county can't afford it, it's that simple. Now, one of these Democrats that are running the board going to get that? What little dream world are they living in? That's my question.
Well, they're living in the world that says we can turn this thing around. Of course, they say that in the face of all of evidence that shows we can't. And so that's what their position is. People need this service, and we're going to fix it, and eventually things that are doing poorly now will be doing well then. Now, I don't think there's a lot of evidence to support that position, but that's their position.
Well, it doesn't look like there's any evidence that these people in the nursing home are going to be put out on the street.
No, that's not going to happen. I mean, that's just a scare story.
So if they've got that evidence, show me. If they can't sell the nursing home, and I think it's really stupid for them to be doing this.
Well, the problem is, as you said, the county can't afford it. The county doesn't have the money. The county is going to have to make cuts in its statutorily required duties and personnel to carry out those duties to maintain a nursing home, which is a purely optional venture for county government. The county is not required to have a nursing home. It did that as a voluntary thing, and other counties have done the same, and other counties like Vermilion County have discovered that it's too expensive and closed their nursing homes because it's such a drain on resources. But right now, the county board is not up to doing that.
Need to take a couple more calls here before the 10:30 news break. This is Marcia. Hello, Marcia.
Hi. You were talking, you couldn't think of the word that you were talking about.
Oh, fair share. Just came to me. Fair share, right?
Fair share.
Yeah,
that's
you go.
What it is.
Yeah.
And so many people don't like having to pay fair share. But if they didn't, when they pay fair share, they still reap the benefits.
Well, that's the argument the unions make, is that we represent all these people and that they are beneficiaries of our representation, so they should have to carry some portion of the cost. That is what the law is right now. The challengers are contesting that on the basis that the money that they are required to give the unions is a violation of their First Amendment rights, and that takes preeminence. So it's a question of not whether the union will represent them. They think it's more important that their free speech rights are violated. So, yes, you're right. It is that, and that is the union's argument, and that's what has been the position since the Supreme Court ruled on this issue about 40 years ago.
And the place where I worked, we had so many people that came to me many times saying, now I understand why we need this union.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't mind paying their dues.
Well, you know, one of the things about this is, and I don't really see, I mean, the unions don't want to lose this ability to compel people to pay, but I see no reason why people should flee the union just because they don't have to pay union dues. I mean, a lot of people like to have union representation and happily pay their dues because they think it's worth it. The question is, can the union make the case why it's a good investment for people to be members, or can it not, and give people a free choice?
Let's go to Eric. Hello, Eric.
Well, fellas, the last time Jim Dye was on, you had the phone trouble.
We did, yeah. Hi, Eric. How you doing?
I'm good. My calling regarding this Ryan Jackson, who's in the employee of the newspaper, and his column appears in Living or the A&E or however you want to call it, section of the newspaper, right?
I believe, yes, he does.
And he came on originally as a humorist and, you know, a clever, witty, you know, maybe like some of his humor. I mean, I was, but at least when it was confined to that, that's what it was. What
yeah.
It is basically an opinion. It's an op-ed piece. That's something entertainment stuff. I would like to see him either some oversight on him to direct him back to where his talents are, because I don't know. I mean, we just had a little conversation a little while ago about what, you know, Justice Robert Steigman, someone called in and questioned his ability to comment on this or that. What I have a problem with is this column, and it's constantly, I mean, it's somebody that's 90% of them are, you know, anti-Trump or anti-this or anti, you know,
yeah.
Whatever it is, it always seems to come back to that recurrent theme.
Yeah. Okay, I get your point there. First of all, let me just say Ryan is not employed by the News Gazette. Ryan is a freelance columnist, and we carry his column. And, yeah, he initially started off as a kind of a humorous type, and then he's joined the resistance, I guess. And so now he uses his platform to bash Trump.
That's fair enough.
Yeah, and so your point is, I guess, that he shouldn't be in the Living section. Maybe he should be in the editorial page. Or
I truly and honestly don't think he should be. And I mean, I wish somebody would come in and address that and say, look, we buy your column. Here's a couple of things you have your say. Let's get back to what we put you here for. And if not, maybe, you know, we'll find something else for you to do. I just can't see it. Anyway, hey,
you got to go, Eric. Thank you so much. Appreciate the call. I'll get to the news here in just a moment, but I suppose you can do that to local people that are freelancers, but you can't tell columnists what to write in their column, can you? I mean, the national people that you have, they think you're crazy if you call them up and say.
Yeah, it's a pretty touchy thing. A columnist is a columnist's words are the columnist's words, and if you're telling the columnist, well, say something else, then he's not really a columnist anymore. So, yeah, it's one of those things. I mean, you know, he makes people angry, just like sometimes I make people angry. And, you know, the guy who writes the Real Talk column on Sunday, and Leonard Pitts makes people angry. And I suppose when we run conservative columnists, you know, they make people angry. I guess my only point would be, you know, it's just an expression of a point of view. Try not to get too upset about it. And you know, go read something. Don't read something else that reflects the opposite opinion.
That's my take on the whole thing. I don't, you know, if I have somebody that I just detest and I don't want to read them anymore, I don't read them anymore.
See, that's why I gave up reading Lauren Tate 30 years ago.
I know. the guy is just, he keeps at it. One of these days he might write something we agree with, but it's been a long haul for him.
I do occasionally throw eggs at his car in the parking lot.
Yeah, Brian Barnhart is next. He has the news headlines. Back with Jim Dye after that. Welcome back to Penny for Your Thoughts. I'm Jim Turpin. Julia Reitz will be here tomorrow morning. I want to emphasize the fact that she will be here at 9 o'clock because we have a little different lineup tomorrow. We have Julia at from 9 to 10, then there will be about 30 minutes of open line. Then it'll be time for Busey Money Talk. Then on Friday, who knows what we're going to have. It's going to be what's going to happen. It's going to be a different kind of program. We're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to have a lot of singers. We're going to play back some of the tape we have on some of the play-by-play that I did, some of the big games, and you can imagine which ones they are. And who knows what else. It'll be fun on Friday. The key is to be go out and have a nice time. We're not going to pay too much attention to anything else unless Trump does something, and we just have to
you never know. It's always subject to change.
More about. I'm going to take a call here in just a moment, but I know you're not writing the editorials. Who writes these when you're gone?
Dan Corkery is my beleaguered replacement, and he's very unhappy about it, but he soldiers on.
he writes about the FCC and this terrific problem they've got going about on the Internet, and we can talk about that a little bit, but seems the corporate giants, Comcast, AT&T, Google, Amazon, and some of those, some people fear that they will now be able to deliver a death blow to consumers and aspiring entrepreneurs because of the government, because of Trump lifting the law that they kept them
net neutrality.
Net neutrality is a term for us trying to describe a little bit, keep things even, make sure everybody got treated the same on the Internet. Was that?
Yeah, it's one of those complicated issues, and you know, I know there's been a lot of kind of hand wringing about how the world's going to come to an end, but the only thing they're doing is reinstating the status quo that was in place in 2015. So we've only had net neutrality for 2 years, and I don't think things were too horrible before 2015. The Internet has grown by leaps and bounds because it was unregulated, and I just don't see the problem that some of these people are suggesting will now become catastrophic. So, you know, this is like anything else in Washington right now. It's very political and very partisan. The FCC voted to repeal it by a 3-2 vote, 3 Republicans in favor, 2 Democrats against. So no, that's kind of where we're at right now.
Let's go to Richard. Hello, Richard.
Good morning, Mr. Turpin and Mr. Dye.
Good morning.
I've listened enough to the show. I haven't caught all the hour and 40 minutes, but I've listened enough that, and this is kind of a tongue-in-cheek comment to some of the people that call in. I know you're doing well, Jim, so I'm not going to ask you. But I have a phrase I use from time to time. Without work, we would never know when we're having fun. I think Mr. Dye would agree with this statement. Without Democrats, we would never know when we're hearing the truth. We've got that contrast that anything that comes out of a Democrat's mouth is probably a lie. But anyway, Mr. Dye, I want to reassure you, if Justice Steigman can't make it because he's not the smoothest talker on the radio program on Penny for Your Thoughts, I assure you, you're going to make it. You'll cut the mustard. You'll make it. And I enjoy listening to you. I very rarely call in when you're on the air with Jim, but I appreciate you. And Jim, I really appreciate the work that you did and the service you performed for us to let us call in. And sometimes we're controversial, but anyway, it's fun.
All right. Well, thank you, Richard. We appreciate your call.
Yeah, I want to say I appreciate his kind words, too. But you know what? He points out something that's always been my problem, timing. He says, I have a great future in radio. Not at my age.
James is next. Hello, James.
Hey, how are you guys today?
We're good. How are you?
Well, not too terrible. Well, getting by.
Okay. What's up?
If you want to talk about nursing homes, I spent 5 months in rehab in Lincoln Manor Healthcare in Decatur, Illinois. And they weren't making payroll, but they somehow stayed open. Guys would call the state would come in and mill around, and these people would act like they were doing something. When the state left, back to the same old, same old. I just spent $35 a week on having people bring me food from the grocery store so there was food, so I could do my therapy and get out of there.
Yeah.
So I wound up calling the ombudsman, and now Lincoln Manor Healthcare is a vacant brick building, and they got fined $50,000, and they let people die in that place.
So well, you know, you certainly point out a problem, which is that you know, some nursing homes are, well, all, in my view, all nursing homes are not places that you want to be. Sometimes you have to be there. In your case, you were injured, I guess, and had to do rehab. But no, that's a tough business, and if people don't do a good job, then there's a, certainly the capacity for great harm to be done. There's no question about that.
Well, I'm still alive, so.
Well, I'm happy to hear that. You know, the older you get, the more you think about that. And when I, you know, I hear that advertisement that says, the former TV host comes on and says, "Oh, we found a wonderful place. We call it a place for mom." You know, you hear that ad? Yeah. When they say that, I hear a place for me, and I say, "Whoa, I'm not so happy about that prospect."
Well, there are plenty of one of the reasons that the Champaign County Nursing Home, for example, is not doing well is the influx of all these other homes that are run by private corporations. Some have multiple ownerships. Some have multiple sites. Some, you know, there'll be. There'll be one company that's running 20 nursing homes, and they do a good job, and they stay in business. It's a little different than somebody depending on, I don't know, county money. And it just, my wife is out at the villa, and it's a terrific place. I think they're doing well. And there are plenty of others around. I think when the nursing home first started, Jim, there was not as many of these places where you could where somebody could go when they needed help.
Well, the nursing home has been around a long time, and I'm not completely familiar with the history. But I think the nursing home originally came about because there was a lack of places like that to care for people who needed that kind of care.
Toughest job in state government? That's the Tribune's editorial today. So what would you think?
The toughest job in state government? I would think being the head of DCFS. But
that's it.
Is it?
Look at that. You'd
well, it ought to be.
You'd seen that before.
No, I didn't see that. But I got to tell you, I don't know how DCFS functions because they deal with people that are in such weak states of life and in such terrible situations that it's a every day that a disaster doesn't happen is kind of a miracle.
Can Beverly B.J. Walker succeed at the helm of DCFS?
My answer is no, she can't. Nobody can. Disasters will happen no matter what.
Nearly 6 months into the job of overseeing the Illinois Department of Children and Family Services, Beverly B.J. Walker didn't hesitate when asked about her most difficult moments. She describes two cases, a troubled teen whose life DCFS could not straighten out, and a toddler who died after being left alone for days. So there's just a couple of examples of what they're dealing with.
Yeah, and I think that statement explains the problem perfectly. DCFS involving a woman whose life DCFS could not straighten out. How do you straighten out other people's lives when they're a mess and people don't want to be straightened out or are incapable of straightening themselves out? You know, you expect too much from people. Expect too much from government when they think government's going to fix people or fix situations where all situations where children are left like this child was. And that is just such an obscenity to think that a child would die under circumstances like that. I mean, it's really heartbreaking, but that's the reality of life on the edge for some people, and the idea that the state is going to intervene in all cases and be successful in saving them is just, I think, unrealistic.
Tom Kasich writes about the Champaign County Board voting unanimously yesterday to join other Illinois counties that have hired law firms to pursue claims against drug makers believed to be responsible for the nation's opioid crisis. That's
yeah,
a very interesting story, isn't it?
It is, and recently in federal court there was a case of a doctor who was in Decatur who was ended up being convicted and sentenced to prison because he was basically handing out opioids to anybody that came in and asked him. And I think that's obviously a real problem, but it's a problem on a multiple ends. One, you have the demand. Two, you have doctors who in some cases are negligent and other cases are just doing it, I guess, for the money. or in some cases maybe falsely compassionate, who hand out these opioids to people who say they're in physical pain. And third, you have the manufacturers who, you know, who have an interest in selling as many pills as they can, and it's all combined for a disastrous situation where you have this medication addiction and people dying.
Well, they are, I guess the I'm trying to know if there is, if lawsuits have actually been filed yet or not.
No, they're getting ready to go after these companies. I suppose in some cases they've been filed. In other cases, they're just seeking
It's the company's fault, but not not the only ones, right?
No. The tobacco. This is a repeat of the tobacco litigation, mm-hmm. where they're all going to gang up on some pharmaceutical company and try to extract billions of dollars in damages and divide it up. So,
all right.
This is a national class action lawsuit. That's very complicated mm-hmm. stuff.
Let's go to Rick. Hi, Rick.
Hello, Jim and Jim. Thank you for taking my call. I have a couple questions. I'd like to go back to the fair share issue and Governor Rauner, and I have a couple questions and maybe one point.
All right, go ahead.
First question is, you know, I've never heard this asked, but the first thing is the term right to work. Indiana went to there. Wisconsin went that way. Governor Rauner is all about, you know, you guys were talking about Mike Madigan and something's got to be done about him, but just my opinion. If it wasn't for him, maybe my wages would be cut in half. My question is, first of all, if we were to go right to work, or Governor Rauner had his way and prevailing rate went away, what would it be like for the people if he was to cut the wages in half? Now, that would be less taxes. Maybe it's good for businesses, but yet I don't understand what is so great about doing that kind of thing to improve the state.
Let me kind of respond there. You said he was to cut the wages in half. Well, first of all, Governor Rauner doesn't have the ability to cut anybody's wages. You'd be protected. I presume you're a union member. You have a union contract. You would continue to negotiate with your whoever you negotiate with. I don't know if you have a private employer, if you have if you work with a confederation of private employers, but.
No.
I don't know. What's your position? Do you work for, you're a member of a union, I presume?
Yes.
Okay, and so you would continue to operate under your contract, and you would negotiate contracts like you did before. The right to work situation is, I'm sorry?
I'm not with the private organization, though.
Who are you with?
We negotiate.
Are you a public employee?
Through this, I'd rather not say. All I want to say is that it's negotiated and the wages are negotiated, and the fact that we have prevailing rate laws in the state, that's one of the things that he'd love to get rid of. You haven't heard about that?
No, I know. Well, I understand prevailing rate, but I don't really understand prevailing rate. I think prevailing, so I'm not going to get into that because I just don't understand the difference of what prevailing rate is.
Sorry.
But,
sorry to interrupt you.
No, that's okay. I mean, we're having an exchange here. That's fine. But you know, the governor, well, it's a complicated issue, and right to work simply means that people aren't forced to join or pay money to unions if they don't want to. That's what it boils down to.
We took our final break right here, coming right back on Penny. We're back on Penny for Your Thoughts, and we've been joined here by a man who was just talked about a little while ago. They said, sure enjoyed when you had Bill Black on the air. I said, well, they miss him over in Springfield because they don't sell nearly as many of the earmuffs that they used to have to keep from hearing your commentary. How are you doing, young man?
Jim, I'm doing fine.
What's with the beard?
Well, I had a new knee installed. I guess installed isn't the right word, but about a month ago. And I decided before the surgery I wasn't going to shave until the new knee was 100%.
Uh-oh.
But anything was better than the old knee. But this is kind of a scraggly beard, but the best shave I ever had was on your program when I grew a beard that we didn't have a budget back in the day.
Yeah.
Luckily for me, we got a budget shortly thereafter.
That's right. We had a friend of mine to come out, and she did the shaving right on the air.
She did a great job, too.
You may have to call on her again.
I think I'd better.
Well, Jim and I have been discussing the ways of the world here, and we've got 2 or 3 minutes. Jim, one of the topics that we've been talking about is the situation in Springfield, and here's the Tribune today, Bill. I don't know if you saw it. Rauner sees a second term in a different light. The governor says he can curtail the power of Madigan.
Well,
what do you think?
I'm always amazed that people who have never been in any kind of governmental situation, not that that's the absolute prerequisite, but they go over there and think they can curtail this or they can stop that. They don't do their basic homework. You need 60 votes. And if you can't get 60 votes in the House and the majority in the Senate, you aren't going to do anything. You aren't going to defeat Michael Madigan, as Jim has written about several times in his district. And you alienate the very people that you have to go to get any of your initiatives done. And
you can't even get a bill to a committee without the Madigan's approval.
Oh, my
right?
goodness, yes. It's I haven't read a book about Uncle Joe Cannon, the Speaker of the U.S. Congress, and an icon in Danville for years and years. He was the Committee on Rules in the U.S. Congress. He was the Committee on Assignment, and he several other titles. And if Joe Cannon said your bill wasn't going to be posted, it didn't mean anything. It was done. You weren't going to get anywhere. To this day, the rules that limit the Speaker's power in Congress are called the Cannon Rules. He was quite a guy, quite a rapscallion, but you know what they say. He was a rascal, but he was our rascal.
That's right. It makes a big difference, doesn't it?
Right.
Jim, you have a question for Bill here in the last couple of minutes?
Well, do you miss Springfield at all?
Yeah, a little bit. Toyed with the idea of trying to go back and heard from several people that I served with and said, no, you really don't want to do that.
Yeah, did you take temporary leave of your senses? You were so agitated? Or
Roger Eddy said that he thought I was no more than temporary leave of senses.
I'm sure there was steam coming out of your ears. It was like the old days when you're going, Mr. Speaker, Mr. Speaker.
I don't know what's going to take place in Springfield. I thought that would be a temporary situation where they were feeling each other out and they would realize they had to get things done. I don't know if they're going to get anything done. And no matter whether you're Republican or Democrat, here comes another very wealthy man from Chicago who has no background in government, and he's going to do everything. And I love the commercials. Well, J.B. knows all about downstate. Okay.
He's been there once, right?
Yeah, well, he had a map in his hand at the time, you know.
You know, a reporter will ask him, as they often do, have you been to Lincoln County? And they usually say, no, but I intend to be there next week. Well, there is no Lincoln County. Many a politician has been caught by that.
They trick them, huh?
That's right.
Well, back when you started, what do you think the cost was? How much money did you have to run for governor back in then?
Oh, probably $1 million, $1.5 million.
That would do it, right?
I think it could run a credible campaign. I think this gubernatorial campaign in Illinois will set a national record. It'll be in the possibly hundreds of millions of dollars.
And that doesn't include candidates are going to spread down throughout the system for various legislative
absolutely.
Races.
You know, that doesn't include the phone banks, the precinct workers, all of the things you have to do now, people who run social media for the campaign. It's completely different.
Bill, good to see you. We are out of time. In fact, we're running over a little bit, but appreciate you coming by. You look good, and one of these days you get that beard shaved off, and that will mean that you're ready to run a race.
I'm ready. I'm looking forward to the marathon. Jim, you're an icon, and we'll miss you a great deal, I can tell you that.
Oh, you're very kind. Jim Dye, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
You're headed for the YMCA this afternoon?
Eventually, I'll get there.
He's training for triathlon.
Well, Mark Johnson will get him into shape. There's no question about that.
I think about triathlons, but I would never attempt one.
Our time is up. We're joining the CBS News in progress, and we'll be back tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock with Julia Reitz here on WDWS.